This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me
Sue Sterling.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now, Sue, we both, when we were talking about Manawatu Striders, you mentioned the disruption from COVID, and we've both been through the COVID lockdowns and so on, but you have a few observations from that.
Well, I think why it was mentioned was, I think I said that virtually all the interviews I'd just finished just before COVID hit.
Oh, the interviews for your book on Manawatu Striders.
Yep. Yes. Yep. So that was very, very good, really. And during COVID, one or two people filled in questionnaires for me or a phone interview or something like that. But basically all the interviews are finished. And in fact, when COVID began, my husband and I were in England.
Yeah.
So we had just arrived there on the 13th of March 2020, and he was doing some voluntary work in Reading, England, and he'd been doing this previous years. So everything had been arranged, and even though it wasn't that great on the horizon, we thought, oh, it'll blow over like bird flu did. So we left here on the 12th of March, and just after we had left our house, I found out that the COVID had been declared a world pandemic that very day. So I was very concerned, but we felt so many things had been set in place in Reading for us that we should go. So we did, happily landed on Friday the 13th in Reading, stayed in our little rented flat where we'd stayed before, and went off happily to buy supplies, as we always do in the supermarkets in England, and get things that we can't get here. So we always buy too much. We're like little squirrels when we go there. And took it back, started cooking the things that we really enjoy there. For instance, you can buy haggis there just in the Tesco's. So,
you know, you can buy there. Tins haggis here.
Not as good. No, okay. Nothing like it. So we were happily doing that, and a friend of ours came to see us with some things we'd left there. But when Doug went into the office on that very day, on the Friday, he was told the office was closed to anyone other than the actual paid employees, the volunteers, basically being shut out because of COVID.
Okay.
So he went to work in a colleague's house and discovered that the colleague had actually just come back from northern Italy, which was where COVID was erupting at that time. So I thought, this might not be too good an idea, but we met said colleague in a pub later and had a meal in said pub and didn't think too much about it.
So most things were open?
Everything was open at that time. And then we thought, oh, we might go to the Apple shop in Reading on the Saturday afternoon because we have Apple devices and something wasn't working very well. Oh, the Apple shop's closed. Already the big institutions, especially the big American ones, had closed.
Because the government didn't crack down in Britain for a long time, did it? But private companies were acting.
They could shut wherever they wanted, of course.
Yeah.
So by the Sunday morning, on the news, Boris Johnson, who was then Prime Minister in England, was saying, 500,000 people are going to die of this disease. And as I have asthma, I thought, that could well be me, because flu usually attacks me quite nastily. So we started putting our thinking caps on very rapidly and decided that we would not stay, because my husband had nowhere to work. He wasn't allowed in the office. We're in a tiny flat with no decent facilities for working, and it didn't look as though it was going to get better. We had planned trips overseas to the Netherlands for a long weekend, and we discovered that they had already closed all the big museums and art galleries in Amsterdam. So it didn't seem much point in going, really. So we decided we didn't really want to go into central London because we only had public transport to go in on. Didn't seem a good place to be.
Right. Yeah, because they did say that was quite way for it to spread.
So we looked up and reorganised our tickets. And then the next day, on the Monday, we discovered that it had been a rogue travel agent who had done this rebooking. And we realised that the tickets had not been rebooked, and so we had to go into central London. So we went down and got our train and our tube to the bottom of Harrods. And Harrods, we had booked on Qatar that year. First and only time we booked on Qatar. They were very helpful. It was now the reason we've not come back with them. There was a large queue of people in the basement of Harrods at the Qatar office, all queuing up. So we were very lucky not to catch COVID, because we had to queue for about an hour and a half. And sure enough, the rogue travel agent had not rebooked our tickets. So we rebooked ourselves. It was only in the hundreds.
Yes,
so it had been taken out of our Visa account. Happily, we eventually got it back. So always pay with Visa if you have doubts, because they were extremely good later at getting that money back for us. But yeah, we had to pay again, but it was in the hundreds of dollars, not the thousands, as what was happening subsequently for people during that period. So we got rebooked, and so we had 6 days in England. And I wanted new shoes from the Nike shop on Oxford Street, so we decided to walk there. And when we got there, it was closed. So that was another of the big corporations that had closed their offices.
Now, this is interesting, because the story we heard in here in New Zealand was in Britain they were saying, oh, we'll just let the wave go through and that's fine, but you're saying a lot of the businesses that
American businesses, of course, they're not British when you think about it. Apple and Nike, everything else was going on. You couldn't get masks, no one much was wearing masks, but you couldn't actually buy them. So our
were there many cases identified then?
Well, they weren't telling us. We discovered later that the first person to die of COVID in England had been in Reading, the place we were, and had been before we were even there, but they weren't telling anyone what was happening. So our son managed to get some masks for us, which we wore diligently all the way home to New Zealand.
Did you feel that other people weren't as concerned as you then?
Well, on the planes, most people, in fact, one person was in full gear on the plane, full PPE gear. The planes, so Heathrow was madness when we got there. Our passports were not accepted in the normal automatic way of checking in, and that's because we have a New Zealand and a British passport. So for going back, we needed a New Zealand one. But we, so we had to queue up.
You couldn't use your British passport to get out, and then New Zealand wanted to come into New Zealand?
Because by then, New Zealand had closed its borders to everyone apart from New Zealand citizens and permanent residents. So we had to queue up at a long queue, one of those snake-like things, and people were getting angry then. Nobody really wanted to be all close, so people were getting really concerned at that point, including myself, and eventually we were able to produce our New Zealand passport.
Did you feel then, obviously the people in the queue, these are people who think, oh, this is a problem, we better get out.
Yes.
Did you feel out in the street people were just ignoring it, and in the queues?
Yes, I think there was that. And also you were confined. So we all knew in the street we were pretty sweet. But once you were in a bus or squashed in a queue in somewhere that didn't have very much air, and we all know now that those were the worst places. At that time, we didn't know how it's being transmitted, if you remember.
Mm. Yes, yeah.
So, by this time in New Zealand, we weren't allowed to associate with other people when we came back to New Zealand. Mm. They'd already put in restrictions.
You had to isolate. Yeah,
we had to isolate.
Yeah.
Unfortunately...
Did you go into the special hotels or whatever?
No, they hadn't been opened at that time. So the MIQ hadn't been opened.
MIQ, that's a quarantine.
The quarantine facilities hadn't been opened, no. So you expected to isolate yourself in your own home. But we had people living in our house. Because we were going to be away for about 4 months...
Yeah.
Some friends, actually friends we've made through the Striders, were living here, and the gentleman in particular was health compromised. He'd just been in hospital, so although our house is big, we didn't feel we could even come here and live separate lives.
Yeah.
We just knew we couldn't do that. So we rented a place in Auckland. And
so you could have travelled from Auckland to...
We were allowed to, but we stayed in Auckland because our son is in Auckland, and we thought, oh, well, he'd be happy to walk with us on the beach. Oh, no. He stayed at probably nearly 50 metres away from us. He wouldn't come anywhere near us. Mm. His wife was expecting her second baby, and he was very concerned.
Yeah, because in those days, we really didn't know anything much about COVID at all.
And again, she's somebody who a bit health compromised, we didn't want to jeopardise that. Yeah. So we went into... He lent us a car, but he left it at a car park at the at the airport for us. And so we had a little car to drive around. And he advised us to get click and collect shopping.
Yes,
and he provided things for us, but they were left us a distance away. It reminded me of the plague in Britain, because I've read quite a bit about that. Very similar things were left outside the village.
Whatever. Yeah, the village with a stone for the food to be put on.
So after we'd been there a couple of days, and our Prime Minister, who was then Jacinda Ardern, announced the formal lockdown. So that was going to be on the Wednesday night of that date.
Oh, so there weren't actual restrictions when you came back?
No, we came on the Saturday.
Your own precautions?
Yeah. Well, there was this restriction that we had to self-isolate, but that was all. So then but these people were still in our house, but they were desperately trying to get permission to go into the new house that they were building. And at about 7 o'clock on that Wednesday evening, when the lockdown was going to be at midnight, they phoned us to say they'd managed to get out of our house. So we jumped in our little car and drove through the night down here, and we got here at about 2:40 in the morning.
Yes.
And wasn't I relieved. So we just had our new deck built, and we spent a lot of time in the sunny deck that you now can enjoy seeing. And we live near the river, so we could go out for walks in the river. And I got my bike back. I lent it to somebody. And I enjoyed it thoroughly after that. But I did feel traumatised by that event, probably for nearly 2 years. It affected me. At moments, I just felt like crying. It was obviously, it had a deep effect on me, that terrible rush back that we had had. And it wasn't really until we went back to Britain in 2 years later, in April 2022, that somehow it all went, because really in Britain by then they didn't care any longer. So we went, and we were very careful when we went. We didn't go to see our son straight away, because they'd had a little baby while we during that COVID time. So we hadn't met our grandson, who was actually 14 months old when we first met him. And we didn't want to go and see them.
Was there still much COVID around?
There was still some COVID, because we were by then all vaccinated, but we were quite sure we were going to catch it on the way there.
But Europe would have seemed... Well, were you coming from basically COVID-free New Zealand then?
It was pretty
when they said, okay, we'll let it pass through? Was it at that stage where they said, we're not going to have any more lockdowns?
Yes, but they'd stopped the MIQ, because that's where we left. They'd stopped the MIQ.
Yeah.
And just travelling, you could have caught it, even though we were vaccinated. So we stayed, well, it's about 10 days before we saw him, and he said, well, you haven't got it, we're coming down to see you.
Okay.
And so he and his wife brought the little boy to see us.
But did it feel very different then in Britain compared to New Zealand? Because their experience had been different.
I think it was. Our son had been very scared because his wife was expecting this first baby for most of it.
Yes.
And they had kept themselves very isolated. And in the little boy's first year, they were very isolated as well, which has probably had some effect on his development because he met so few other people during that time. And things like their antenatal group, they couldn't meet face to face. It's all very well saying Zoom is interesting, but it's not the same as meeting people face to face, particularly young couples trying to blend together and so on. And of course our own friends who we still have in the UK, many of them had basically self-isolated through until the vaccinations came, because a lot of them are quite vulnerable. And there were interesting stories. A friend of ours lives in a little cul-de-sac, and they started a little WhatsApp group, and they would get items for one another in that group. And one of the men was in that little cul-de-sac, was well over 70, so he was able to get supplies when others couldn't from the shops. So this
supplies are, you mean just goods
just
or
general
masks?
Supplies?
Oh, because they would deliver for him,
but not for others.
Okay.
So he would have a great big shopping list, and things
that's
like
ready,
that. Right. People did. Yeah. Actually really combined together.
Yeah.
But people on their own felt very isolated, I think.
Yeah,
it was a very, very difficult time for them.
Yeah, I had a friend in London who was, it would have been around 70 then, and had health issues, and he was basically sent a letter from the government that he's not supposed to go out or anything.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very, very difficult.
Yes, I think so.
But you mentioned WhatsApp. I suppose COVID really opened up the idea of video conferences,
incredibly.
And Zoom was the big popular one that came then, because there had been Skype, but that was sort of older technology, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. So. Yes, I mean, once we were back here, a little coffee group became a Zoom group, and one of my U3A groups, my book group, we went on to Zoom, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and my philosophy group. So those things were good. And and I was very pleased that I'd joined U3A just about a year previously, a few months previously, so that I'd met these people face to face rather than just meeting first on Zoom.
Yeah, because U3A Manawa too, that it used to be called University of the Third Age, and it's something I think it might have originated in Britain, but we've got a local branch here and various around the country with different interest groups, but we're not allowed to call it a university now, so it's U3A.
Yes.
But,
That was very good, it kept you going. And of course I was writing the book for Striders. So when I eventually got back into our house, we had a lot of empty banana boxes because we'd packed quite a few of our items away so these people could live in our house.
Yeah.
And so once we'd unpacked them into our drawers and wardrobes, I had about 20 empty cardboard boxes. And I had been given a lot of material to write the book for Manawa True Striders. And it wasn't sorted into the categories that I wanted.
Yeah.
So for the next 6 weeks, really, during that first lockdown, I would go down to the room where all this was stored and gradually sort it out. So it was a great time for me once I came back.
Yeah,
I was able to really get my teeth into writing the history. But I was just lucky that I had that big project to do.
Yeah.
And as soon as my husband could order paint, he started painting the inside of the house, and that carried on for about the next 2 years. We had projects, so we were some of the lucky ones, and we were still being paid because we were retired people, so we're still getting our pensions. So our story is very different from other people's stories.
I think for a lot of retired people, the lockdowns were actually quite pleasant. I remember people talking about, because you were allowed out to go to the shops and so on, and a lot of people would say, say if there was cycling or something, this was how it used to be in the past. Not much traffic, you can just get in your bike and go on the road.
I love cycling during lockdown. I can still remember going along to Fitzherbert Avenue and there being no traffic, able to turn right out of College Street, and which I would never normally cycle down. Yeah. And the Esplanade looked lovely, the cherry trees were absolutely gorgeous.
And you could still walk, couldn't you, as long as you were distant, because you're allowed to go out for exercise, but distancing from other people.
No, it was nice. And then as restrictions loosened a bit, we'd have people who'd come for a cup of coffee and we'd sit out on our deck with them and socially distance suitably.
No, it was a nice way to go. But with, I think that the social media dimension, you'd come back from England, but if you've got a news, I was going to say you could actually be in better contact, or were you using sort of video calls before then?
We probably use them more after that. We had used them before, but yes, every week we would video our son in England and hear about all that they were doing. Obviously, as soon as he was born, we heard about his birth, and that was a very difficult time for them, because our son wasn't allowed at any of the appointments when his wife was being checked out during her pregnancy.
Yes, that's right.
Even the scans, he wasn't allowed.
Yes.
And if something had been wrong in a scan, it would have been a very difficult time for them. In the end, he was allowed at the birth by the hospital in London, but of course he had to wear a mask.
All the protective gear.
And they didn't stay long in the hospital. They got out as quickly as they could.
I suppose the support afterwards would have been less, because
very limited limited for a first baby because of COVID. Very difficult, and often they were having to phone. Our little grandson had a sort of a lump on his neck, so it meant his neck was sort of a bit to one side. And they found out that with physio, that would disappear. It was just how he'd been in the womb, really. But all the physio was by Zoom.
They were being instructed on what to do.
Yeah. And just thankfully, our daughter-in-law is a very practical woman, and she was able to understand what they were saying. The little boy has no problems in that direction. It was difficult.
Because I was saying, this has grown a lot now, because now a lot of doctors' consultations are either video or phone, generally.
I remember having one of those, I think it's about the September phone consultation. That was a bit strange, but it's better than nothing.
Because there's delays anyway if you want to be face to face.
When we got vaccinated, the vaccinations were, it was great that we got them, but all the furore with that as well of, should people have vaccinations? And I was lining up as soon as I could get them. I signed up as soon as it got to my age group and went to the big centre that they had in Palmerston.
I did the same, go for it, but I know there were some people who would say no, they weren't going to take a risk at all.
That was sad times, really, when it became quite controversial.
A lot of uncertainty and strong feeling. But Yeah, but then we got through it. I think there's still some COVID around, but I think now with the, if someone gets COVID, then they can just get all the medication that reduce the effect quite strongly.
Yes,
So it's not even considered much of an issue now, I think.
No, but people are still dying of it, just as people die of flu. Still should be taken seriously.
Well, that's it.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.